Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, comedian Omar Abid, wedding celebrant Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. How are you two doing?
I'm good.
We're all right, we think.
Are you okay?
I'm knackered.
Bless you. Yeah. And you're doing a gig tonight, did you say?
I'm doing gigs all weekend at the Stand in Newcastle.
Easter gigs. I've heard of the Stand in Newcastle.
How have you heard about the Stand?
I think I'm gigging there in April. My first stand-up show, because I'm so funny.
It's all the tweeting. The tweeting's picking up. Because the series is going,
it's starting to heat up. Yeah,
this is kind of what happens every year.
It happens every year, and you start off liking them, and then by the middle, you're like, they're all a bunch of freaks.
I mean, that being said, because we're recording earlier on this Friday than we normally would, because obviously it's Good Friday, mm-hmm. So we've not had to go to work this morning,
and we're all going to mass later.
It's important to us. So, but also Sarah has a big trip coming up.
That's true.
So I'm gives going, him more time to pack.
I know, we're going away tomorrow, and I'm so sorry I'm not going to be here for a couple of episodes, but I might send some little thoughts from Nicaragua.
Oh, so close to Colombia.
Colombia, please call me Sarah.
So because we're recording earlier as well, I haven't had a shower yet, so I've decided to come. I realised dressed as Jack, I've got a beanie
which I would
never normally wear indoors.
Your hoodie would have to be a lot tighter.
That's true, yeah, Jack. That is true. Yeah.
I was about to say your skin's the wrong colour, but that's going to sound wrong.
Well, that might be something that we come back to later on.
Leading us into something else. Yeah, but you're not red enough.
That's what I meant. That is 100% what
you don't have the red hue.
The strawberry tones.
Yeah.
The angry man colour.
And also, you'd have to do some real beard maintenance to be more Jack.
He's got very defined. I mean, I do need a bit of a beard trim. but... Again, I haven't had time.
No.
Luckily, this is an audio medium, so we're absolutely fine.
Well, his is very precise. His top lip is weird.
It's almost like a moustache. We don't want to spend our time talking about Jack.
He actually doesn't feature as much this little bit we're going to talk about now, does he?
He's very quiet.
No, he wasn't in it so much, actually. What we think we'll do for our episode today is actually almost do things in reverse order.
Just to mess with you.
Yeah, because the second friends and family visit was all right, and we'll come to it. We'll throw bits of that in.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's the dinner party we want to talk about, really.
Yeah, sure is.
The thing I wanted to bring up, really, before we got started was, in our last episode, we went through everything, went through the commitment ceremony, the first friends and family thing, and we totally forgot to mention Tim and Sarah.
I know.
Wow.
I guess, like, They're just bubbling along now, sort of.
Yeah.
Both Colombian, both full of love.
I don't know if you should use that accent when you're away.
I've learned one Spanish phrase. Yo soy una mujer, which means I'm a woman.
Oh, very good. You need like, where is the whatever?
¿Dónde está?
El banco.
El baño.
El baño is a good one.
Banco.
Yeah, bank.
Where's supermercado.
That's a good one.
I've been doing my Duolingo.
I do Spanish Duolingo.
I'm on level like minus one.
You'll have to follow me.
Okay. I don't have any friends on there yet.
I have one. It's our friend Gary, who's on like level a million or something.
Oh my gosh.
Ridiculous.
I mean, super cool.
It's like a genius.
Zutalo.
This is all more than we had to say about Tim and Sarah.
I know. So
this was a problem.
I mean, yeah. I'm loving her fiery outfits. She's looking sauce pot.
Yeah, but that was quite the topic of conversation.
It was.
Instagram,
this is
wasn't it? Which I think is
the wireframe top with the red. Tits in.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can do it, do it.
Well, there was a lot of discussion about whether she managed to pull that off online. I didn't contribute because it's not. I never think it's good for me to start talking about how people look or what they're wearing.
I thought it looked good. I said to you, didn't I? I wouldn't want to eat my dinner in that. I would not wear that
100%.
And so can you often imagine just sitting down to dinner?
I cannot imagine.
I want to enjoy my dinner.
So often they wear things to the dinner party or the commitment ceremony where I'm like, it works as a standing up having a prosecco outfit,
yes,
but it's not a sitting down outfit.
Yes.
It's also not a getting frustrated and like flailing your arms around outfit where like a tit is going to literally pop out. So they're braver than me, but I think they look incredible. I love the outfits. It's definitely one of the parts I look forward to.
I like the curly hair.
She's
had
beautiful.
Actually, I thought that too.
But in terms of their relationship, I mean, they've been a bit more like, you know, PDA.
Yeah, lots of kissing at the
little
table.
Little snogs.
And I think the only thing I really had to say about them was at the dinner party, she'd said, we're getting closer and, you know, we've really got to that next level. And I think it's spending the quality time. So so when you started turning up for dates, it helped, didn't it?
I know.
Yeah, then you wanted to go on more dates. How it works. Yeah.
Sometimes this show is amazing how people do pull things round. You see them be really pissed off at each other.
Yeah.
And it feels like absolutely dead in the water. And then suddenly, like, we're doing really well this week. And you're like, wow, okay.
Do you think it's just that thing of you have to spend loads of time together?
Yeah, I guess communication works.
Yeah.
And interventions.
They'll edit out that middle section, won't they, where you see the turnaround really.
Yeah, true.
It'll be one conversation that you see.
It just suddenly seems good.
Yeah.
Their friends and family thing was Ben.
Ooh.
The best man.
Oh my
man
gosh,
back.
Him.
He's a dick.
He's so annoying.
A dick.
We need to relax. Really, everybody needs, cheers to relaxation.
Yeah. It's like the joke's old now, Ben.
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable.
You could maybe have done that joke once.
I know.
But he just kept going back to the same well.
And the friend of Sarah's was like, what's the word? He's juvenile.
Did you notice him do a little spin as he went into the bar?
Yes. Oh, no, I didn't. To be honest, I had time for the spin. I quite liked the spin. It was I love a spin, but it was more just like hacking on the same joke over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And trying to make yourself the main character.
Yeah.
There was
that
real vibe of him trying to get his screen time. He feels like one of those people who just gets a kick out of being antagonistic for the sake of it. And it doesn't really achieve anything. It's not particularly funny, but he gets an absolute thrill from winding people up.
Yeah, but he's really not helping Tim.
I don't think he's there to help Tim. I don't think he cares. I think he's just wanting to be on screen and
15 minutes
and be funny.
I also realised after our last episode that we had spoken about Michael and Stephen at the commitment ceremony, but we didn't talk about their hug. They had an intimacy week like kind of thing, so it wasn't really much to say. I mean, they had a hug, seemed all right.
Yeah,
maybe the litmus test is if we don't talk about things, it's because they're forgettable.
Yeah,
but I like them. I do really like them.
Yeah, you're not, well, you're saying yeah,
but I'm saying yeah, but I feel I have a question mark over Stephen.
Do you?
Yeah,
thinks he might be gay.
Their boy's out.
What's the question?
I don't know. I feel like I can't warm to him. He's good looking. He's got style. He's, you know, the instant thing was, oh yeah, we like him.
Mm.
But then since that's died down, I feel like there's nothing to really get a hold of. We haven't seen enough to get a hold of. Michael's got charisma.
That's it.
And warmth, and you know, you can kind of.
It's not that Michael's like super funny or, you know, super witty or loud or whatever. But for some reason, I just feel more attached to Michael than I do to Stephen.
Is it because we've known him longer?
I don't think so.
I do really like Stephen. And yeah. I think we saw him open up a bit more when
with the letter.
When he talked about his dad.
Yeah.
Which made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. It made a lot of sense of just like having a, being a bit guarded around a relationship's ever successful and is someone going to leave, la la la. So often people just have the same sort of stories, don't they? And it's so crap.
Cheating stories.
Which makes me wonder like whether this estranged parent is watching them on TV and feeling responsible or just washing their hands. You know, to know your son is on TV
talking about
you and talking about being abandoned.
Yeah.
I do really like him, but I'm happy to be alone.
No, I don't dislike him. It's not that I'm like, oh, there's something about you I don't like.
No, no.
It's just that I feel there's perhaps more about Michael you can connect with, get on board with. Maybe Stephen just doesn't feel able to kind of show that yet. Maybe there's we'll see it the longer they're
Michael's a bit more open and he's got a little bit of an edge. I think sometimes Michael stands up for people at the dinner parties and has things to say.
Yeah, he was involved in that discussion with Ellie about Ben and he went over to greet Ellie. That you like that, didn't you?
Yeah.
First one to come over when he
came in on our own and he was like, come on, we'll get a drink.
Oh, and sweet. I do feel like he'd have people's backs.
Yeah.
Whereas Stephen was there and saying, it'd just be nice to talk to someone else. We spend a lot of time together.
That's what he said.
Not in those words, but he was like, you
something
know,
similar.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was funny, which I totally agree with that, which I guess we'll talk.
Is that why we never go out on our own? The two of us.
On Stephen and Michael, did you spot when they were doing their values, you know, the matching values?
Yes.
They were almost bob on.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time I used the expression bob on. But it was almost identical, and that was really lovely. And that must be so nice as a couple to be in this experiment. And obviously Stephen's questioned them being matched and him being like a backup. But if you, that is like black and white proof that you're pretty well matched to look down and see sex life bottom. No, but I suppose it was actually really sweet how they put money bottom.
Yeah.
That was quite refreshing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see much fun though. Like you see Jade and Rich and they seem like they're having fun.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I do. That's fair. I hope we see them have a bit more fun together. And I always wonder, because we can't see everything, like, do these couples, are they allowed to just go on nice long walks together? Are they allowed to go out for drinks? Are they allowed... Because if you were living together in that Sky Suite, you're so... I presume you're so near some beautiful, like, waterfront walks. I'd be like, come on, let's go explore.
Well, Timothy and Lucinda got themselves to a strip club.
I know!
Yeah.
Without footage.
And I was going to say, you remember Dino and Carolina? She was saying, I like to go gym and go for coffee.
She used to go for coffee.
And I like house music.
So I got the impression that she was out at coffee shops just raving.
Because it would be nice to see Michael and Stephen do something lighthearted, fun, something they enjoy. Yeah, so actually, I guess we don't really know that much about like their hobbies and interests and stuff. Are they sporty? Are they like artistic? Are they into music?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, should we talk about Jade and Ridge then? Because they did a similar thing, the fast track.
Oh yeah, and I predicted it right. He put her top. I knew he wouldn't play games.
Yeah,
he put her top of the pyramid of good lookingness.
Let's not faff about. And she did as well for him.
Did she? I can't remember.
And they did the letter.
Oh, that was a big one.
The confession letter, where her confession was, I got pregnant when I was younger, which he already knew. I'm not sure what the confession was as such, but
well, we've already talked about that. We already talked about confessions last episode. Because you said, I wonder why we didn't see
Ridge's. Yeah, that's true.
But they are just building and building on... I don't normally have such a good memory. I'm quite proud of myself. they seem to be just building and building. And like, to give them credit where credit is due, really healthy stuff, like openness, supporting each other. I think he said to her, correct me if I'm wrong, at the dinner party, come find me if you're...
Yes.
A gorgeous thing to say.
Yeah. If you're feeling uncomfortable, just come and find me. That was good.
Oh.
I would have the hots for someone who said that to me. Yeah. That is so like comforting and like, you know, like strong.
Yeah, protective.
Love
but
it.
Not in a kind of controlling way.
And he's like,
I'm here if you need me.
And then I think he had a little chaser at the end of like, come find Uncle Ridge.
Oh, God. He just has to do it, doesn't
he? Which actually does make him more lovable because he says these things are actually quite healthy and lovely. And then he ends with a crap little joke, which actually makes him almost more endearing. Because he's so like cocky.
He also said at one point, everyone's being quite civil.
Yeah, sweet. And he was right.
But they're doing.
It didn't take long.
They're doing remarkably well.
Yeah.
And is it? I mean, you know, we always question how these people put together, but like, have they actually been just really well matched, or are they both just open to it? Because I guess it's a case of it's the perfect alchemy if you're coming into this show. you hope that you're well matched, but also you have to be really open to choosing to see the best in someone, and they've both chosen to see the best in each other.
Yeah.
She could have been really put off by his vows at the wedding.
Yeah.
He could have been put off by the fact she had a kid, or the fact that they were slightly different in different ways, but they both just seem to just be in it.
Yeah.
In a really remarkable way that we don't always see on maths.
Definitely not. We often see the opposite. I think that, maybe they're this year's success story.
I think it makes a difference that, that we weren't expecting it.
No.
I think it, I like them more for that.
Yeah. And often with the intruder couples, do we often get a success story with the intruder couples?
Well, who was last year? Last year was Taylor and... Josh was the guy who was with Melissa.
Hugo.
He had sleep on the windowsill.
Oh, my word. So Johnny was wondering with the intruder couples, because it does feel like such short change to get onto maths and be told, oh, you're coming in halfway through. Do you think they have to fill in something that says, I can take 10 weeks off work, or I can take 6 weeks off work, and then they split them that way?
I think, I mean, obviously it's a different country, but when we spoke to Sophie from the UK one,
she wasn't expecting it.
She was expecting to be on from the beginning. So I guess you're on for, they book you out for the full series, and then maybe it's based on matches.
Sometimes it feels like they choose quite a young, good looking couple to come in and sort of shake things up, which Ridge and Jade haven't done. They're so into each other.
Yeah,
like I can't imagine this year with the older couples that the intruders would have been like an older couple. I feel like it's normally more people they think are going to ruffle feathers or something.
Yeah.
On the other hand, they've introduced a same-sex couple, so they're not really, going to shake things up.
But that's because Michael missed out.
He wasn't supposed to be. That was not a planned intruder.
And then obviously Madeline and Ash
You're right. The two genuine intruder couples are potentially disruptive.
Yeah.
Disruptive and viewing figures. Yeah. But we shall see.
Well, I'm going to make this is going totally against how I said I'd lead us through this, but I think what we should talk about now is Andrea and Richard, because they weren't really in the dinner party much.
Oh, gosh.
But they were a big talking point at the friends and family.
Oh, they were.
Because she was on the phone.
For 2.5 hours.
And this is what I was saying with Michael and Stephen. If she was on the phone for 2 hours, 3-4 times a week, fine, I'll watch a film, whatever.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? You spend all your time together. You have to be there for filming and everything.
Do you think Richard seems like he's on the needy... I don't like this word, but needy.
Yeah, he's really needy. And then he starts crying.
I think that was genuine.
Yeah, I think the neediness is that he was genuine. He gets confused. Sorry if anyone's listening of the same age. Yeah, I think she almost admitted that the reason she'd been on these phone calls was she was pulling away from him. She didn't really pretend that wasn't the case. She was like, I've got walls up because I was disrespected. And obviously you're away from your friends and family. Maybe like the most secure place to be is on the phone to people that know and love you, rather than just sat in uncomfortable silence with somebody who you feel like doesn't quite understand why you're annoyed.
But I get the impression she's kind of perhaps always done that.
Long phone calls.
Yeah, and the reason he was annoyed about it this time is because they'd kind of agreed to get past the stumbling block. And he then felt she wasn't putting enough effort in because she was off on the phone.
But that seems...
I think that's what bothered him about it.
She's such a boomer. I hate phone calls.
I
hate them. Yeah. I absolutely hate phone calls.
What have you got to talk to people about
for two and a half hours?
Like 4 times a week?
But again, she's stuck in there. Like, it's something different. And in this instance...
Can't be private, though, because he said she was one... I don't think she's having like deeper meaningfuls. I think she's just liking the distraction of familiar voices. Because I don't think she was slagging him off.
Yeah.
It sounded like she was wandering around and he was like, oh, you're just in and out on your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what he wants is like, right, I've said sorry about...
Yeah, he does.
And now that's it.
He wants an easy life.
Now we're fine.
And you can't just snap your fingers and expect somebody... Like, for some people, that could have been the end of the relationship.
Yeah.
So I actually think she's very kind... And I know that he maybe didn't mean any menace by it. He's just a bit crap with his words
confused.
Doesn't read the room. It was a really interesting dynamic, wasn't it, with the friends and family for Richard and Andrea, because he had his daughter there. And already that's quite a strange dynamic to be talking about your father's like romantic life and like things he might not have said.
Yeah.
And then for her to have her friend. But I think everybody played it quite respectfully.
Yeah.
And even Andrea's friend, Drea's friend, seemed to be like almost backing Richard, like saying you seem like a really nice guy.
Yeah, she likes him, doesn't she?
You're giving good energy.
I don't like all that.
Do you not?
I appreciated what the friend was doing. I don't appreciate Richard. It really seems like I've got it in for Richard.
Yeah,
But no, I don't. I genuinely don't like what he did there, because even if he's not doing it intentionally, he's doing the whole, but look, I'm a nice guy. It's like, yeah, you might well be a nice guy.
Actions speak louder.
Yeah, exactly. You might not have done it intentionally. You fucked up. And he left it out of the explanation of why they were having a rocky patch. And then he left it to Andrea to explain.
I know,
that
was uncomfortable. Because I think she handled it really respectfully, because she said to the daughter, like, I'm going to say some things now, but obviously I'm aware it's your dad.
It's your dad.
Yeah.
And everyone's, like, probably having to be really careful, because if it's a successful relationship, she might be, like, the future stepmom. Who knows, how it will go. Probably not, considering it's maths. But that is a quite difficult conversation to have. But, yeah, he always seems to want to sidestep and just go straight to everything being fine.
Yeah.
And he, even when he was getting upset, it wasn't that he'd upset Andrea. He was more upset that he was being seen as a bad guy.
Yes, yes.
When we got to the crux of it and he was crying, he was like, I just don't want that to be how you see me or something. Yeah. And I was like, well, own it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And prove that you're not.
And then everyone has to, like, comfort him.
It's
You're the one who did make the mistake.
It's like, I'm being punished for the thing I did.
But I didn't mean it.
That's how we all want it, really, don't we?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't actually dislike him as much as you seem to. I do have my guard up a little bit, because it's like, oh, Andrea deserves the absolute world.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's incredible.
Yeah.
And she's also, like, on a shallow level, she's absolutely stunning, and on a deeper level, she seems great.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure he's quite there in terms of emotional maturity, in terms of understanding her.
Yeah.
Because actually, you know, a really mature guy might be like, I'm pleased you've been talking to your friends on the phone, because clearly you've needed that offset, that like outlet. Let's do a date tomorrow. Are you up for it? I'm sorry I've let you down recently. I want to prove that we're all right. But he's like, why haven't you forgiven me? Almost like putting it back on her.
Yeah, well, putting it back on her in terms of, like, we said we'd try and get over this and you're on the phone.
I know.
So, he hasn't done anything differently himself.
No, he's just waiting for her to be all right.
Yeah.
It's the, like,
passive,
say, the
passive.
Yeah, yeah. The emotional maturity thing is huge, because you look at Ridge, even when he did everything right in comforting Jade, he said, I've got homework to do to make sure she feels reassured.
Oh, stop it.
Whereas Richard's made a mistake. And I wonder, if he was a younger man, if generally people would be harsher on him. Although the tide has turned on him. I think most
little
people
bit,
are
yeah.
like,
mm. yeah,
or a lot of people anyway, maybe not the majority.
Yeah.
And then you remember, because it's so funny sometimes when it shows their jobs, Richard is actually a motivational speaker.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So like, not sure I paid to... not sure I paid here as motivation. But you're right on Ridge, like, he played it perfectly on saying, like, it wasn't even his fault, but how can I help you this week? What's my homework?
Yeah, that's what Richard needed to do, really, wasn't
100%.
It?
100%.
All right, then, let's wrap up this friends and family thing with Tristan.
My favourite character of the whole season. It's close. Moddy. It is close with Lucinda, but Moddy is such a babe. What an absolute babe. And then I thought he was being serious when he said, how's your sex life? And then Cassandra's like, he's winding us up.
He's being
and
cheeky.
Then he started, like, giggling.
Yeah, but it was actually the perfect question.
It was like the best and worst question he could have asked.
I mean, when Moddy turned up, I did a tweet saying that Tristan should hug Cassandra like he hugs Moddy.
I know, there was much affection there. And he did say, like, he's the dream father-in-law. Mm. It's like, well, if you want him in your life, you have to have Cassandra, so you need to pull your finger out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gave Tristan a bit of a nice talking to. Like, saying, it wasn't a talking to, gave him advice.
You need to put more logs on the fire.
Exactly, yeah.
It was beautiful. It was like an old proverb.
Yeah.
He was so wise. And it's so true. Like, he's like, you can't expect that flame unless you keep putting the logs on.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was talking about his marriage having lasted for 40-something years or whatever it was. It was good advice.
It was good advice, but it's not advice that Tristan hasn't really heard before.
Yeah, just in a different way.
Yeah.
I wonder what it would take for something to land with Tristan, like, permanently.
Mm.
Maybe for her to write leave.
Maybe.
No, I think that'd send him, that'd spiral.
That's true.
That would send him into a, she never liked me anyway, I knew she didn't.
To be honest,
that would confirm the worries he
It'd be, even if he thought it was, like, genuine thing and it's not to prod at him or whatever, he'd just be like, yeah, I can't bring this round because, you know, I'm not good enough for her.
Yeah, she's done. You're right.
It's the worst thing he
could do. I knew I'd fuck it up and now I fucked it up.
Yeah. I knew it. I've done it. But yeah, more of Moddy, please. Spin-off show.
Moddy and Lucinda's dad.
Oh my gosh. And then Timothy called him a fiery little guy. You are so right. We need Lucinda's dad and Moddy.
Yeah. Get them in for like guest experts.
Absolutely. Yes. They need like their experts. Own, yeah, like chat
Moddy
show.
Moddy and Michael week. Is he called Michael?
I think so, yeah.
Yay, can't, Moddy and Michael
can't
week.
Can't remember.
Eminem.
He looks more like a Jeff.
The only couple left from the Friends and Family Week episode were Ellie and Ben. And he came back from God knows where he'd been.
His walkabout. His Australian walkabout.
Oh, God.
And he came back with his guitar.
Oh, yeah. How my skin crawled.
We heard the song.
Yeah.
But then he just gave the lyrics to Ellie and mansplained how to write a song to her. Basically,
you get a chorus and then you get a verse.
But then you thought, they're just my thoughts. And I wrote them down.
And the thoughts were just
thank
so,
you, Ellie.
Yeah, basic. Like, when you told me that on the couch.
And I fucked up and I'm back.
Honestly, how my skin crawled. I actually screamed at the TV, no, no. There's nothing worse than a man with his guitar.
Muffs has found the chink in my armour when it comes to cringing because I just can't take people singing badly, earnestly. I just really struggle with it.
Oh, it's horrific.
You can't do it, can
you? It's the most ick. It's like the biggest ick anyone could do. Like, do not get out a guitar unless that is your like paid job. And even then, like, you should wait till someone asks. Mm. Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible.
But then to just sit there and talk her through the lyrics. I mean, I'm not the only one to make the link to David Brent.
It was so David Brent. But actually, I got almost annoyed at her for a second because she was lapping it up.
I know, she actually like, cried, didn't she? I was thinking, is she crying because she's stuck in this situation?
And she hates the song.
Before he'd even started working on the song, when he first came back, he said, yeah, it really... What you said on the commitment ceremony couch really held up a reflective mirror to me.
Oh, like, yeah.
All mirrors are reflective.
But then that seemed to be the phrase of the dinner party as well.
Yeah.
Because people kept saying that, holding up a mirror too, holding up a mirror too.
It was the experts who kept saying it.
But she bought back into it.
Mm. What is...
In the short term.
Yeah.
Until it all
Ben's
turned back
problem?
Around again.
What is Ben's problem? And does it all come back to the fact he's got a bad tooth?
Oh, that was the worst thing I think I've ever seen. I didn't get to finish my dinner.
It was so
I've had this tooth out and I just wanted to eat my dinner.
He's so mad. Well,
maybe eat your dinner and then get your list of things I hate about you out.
Oh my word.
If your dinner's that important.
That he's a sociopath.
I really think,
because
honestly,
the way he just went from you've had this massive argument with your wife where you've point by point broken down what's wrong with her to then suddenly I want to eat.
Yeah. Just like, the worst bit is I didn't eat my dinner.
There's such a lack of...
That's the worst bit of what you did. And because then he went, it's unfortunate. It's not unfortunate.
You did it. You chose to.
Yeah.
I think he misunderstood the brief. And he's been told over and over again, like, open up, be honest. And he's thought, right, what's the most honest I can be?
And I'll get this list out that I've been keeping for the past 5 weeks.
And then it's so funny because they were like, you wrote it down. He was like, no, I didn't write it down. It was just some... It was just some dot points. They're like that. You still used a pen.
Yeah, that like, is writing it down.
He makes no sense. No. And I mean, there's something like robotic about him.
Yeah.
To me, bullet points are what separate a list from prose.
Yeah,
if anything,
yeah,
it makes it more of a list.
It's worse. Yeah. I know it is.
It's
worse.
Like that is what you do in a shopping list. You put like
And then I'm so pleased when it was brought up at the dinner party that people were horrified, especially by the makeup thing. Because that is that is really icky to be like controlling how she presents herself.
Yeah.
Like, and obviously I can sort of understand if he's coming into it going like, oh, that's not who I'm, that's not sort of girl I normally date. But like, that doesn't give you the right to tell her what she can put on her face.
Yeah.
And also, like, she can't help where she's from geographically.
Yeah, or her
she
age.
Can't help, she's 32 her age. And he's 39. But that's a generational difference.
Ridiculous.
Of a full
it's
7 years.
It's absolutely ridiculous. But also,
She might not get some of my classic pop culture references.
She might not get my song. But I also, it's really starting to piss me off how often he calls her emotional. I actually, not that it matters, she can be as emotional as she likes. She's not even
she's
that
not.
Bad. And, no. like, she doesn't react. She's actually very calm,
yeah,
very centered. She lets him talk his shit and she barely responds. Yeah. She just sort of keeps that like dignified silence. And actually, I would love to see him as someone who gave as good as... I would love to see him as someone who actually was super emotional.
Yeah. Yeah.
He deserves to... Imagine if he was with Madeline.
Wow.
Imagine that pairing.
Yeah. I mean, I did think that. You know, he's saying she's emotional because...
She has feelings about things.
Yeah. She asked him to leave after listening to 2.5 hours of her him slagging her off. Mm-hmm. Why was she listening to it for two and a half hours?
But
that,
if someone
was that emotional and sensitive, they'd be gone after 5 minutes.
Madness.
2.5 hours.
He first called her emotional when she said calmly that she might want kids.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Yeah, I understand she's a sensitive person.
You're not allowed. In Ben's world, you have to be from a really strict geographical area. You have to be 39. You can't show any interest in wanting children. Yeah. You have to love music.
Don't wear makeup.
You have to love live guitar music. Yeah, you have to be barefaced.
Yeah.
I bet he's also one of those annoying guys who thinks no makeup is still... There's probably loads of makeup on. He's like, yeah. I like a just natural girl. It's like, that girl has got fake eyelashes.
Exactly. Anyway, but what did he say as well? She spends too long in the mirror.
He said that at the dinner table, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Why needs to spend longer stuff like that?
Looking at himself, taking a long look at himself
in the reflective mirror.
I can't make head or tail of him.
No.
And then also, like, it's so embarrassing because he sent that gift... begging for her back or trying to...
Yeah.
And then he said to her, I don't think we're right for each other. he's all or nothing,
yeah,
flip-flopping all over the place.
Yeah.
And I can't understand how her head's not spinning.
I know.
That seems like a good place for us to go to the dinner party.
We are flip-flopping like Ben today. I think we've already talked about the dinner party a little bit. But now we'll get into it.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yes, Sarah Stara was having none of Ben at the dinner party at all, was she? She was not buying what he was trying to sell.
No.
But her
door-to-door salesman, yeah, shit relationship.
Her theory on him saying we're not meant to be together was that Ben could tell that Ellie had enough, that she was at a limit then. So he sort of got in there first with like, yeah, but the truth is, Ellie, we're not meant to be together.
Exactly.
I think she already knew that.
On the way to the dinner party in the taxi, he was saying, yeah, I'm confident we can move forward.
I know.
Based on what?
Yeah, I know.
And then also, he said something, I can't remember if this was when he was being interviewed by the producers when it all kicked off or at the dinner party. He said something like, well, it's been focused on me for a while. And
yeah.
It was almost like he wrote that list of critiques because he was like, right, well, I've been critiqued, so it's her turn,
yeah,
like, tit for tat. Maybe we should go back to the arrivals at the dinner party. Take it back a step. We're getting very heated about how annoying Ben is. On that subject, I really liked when Ellie got there first and then the girls were like, what's happening? He ran away because it was just such a funny way to word it, like making him seem ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because he is ridiculous.
But I think that is the most apt way to describe it. He actually did run away.
And the girls' reaction was like, what?
Yeah.
Like the whole, I don't think so many people come on the show and don't seem to understand what maths is.
Yeah.
Like you're supposed to work through things and talk about things. You're not supposed to run away
with your guitar.
Even even at that point when he turned, well, he was the last one in, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to talk to her privately to try and, I think, sway her into...
But his arrival was really awkward as well, because, frosty. Like, nobody got up. Nobody wanted to be the first to get up. I can't even remember who it was.
It was Andrea.
Well, yeah, one of the two.
I feel like Ben has, like, the DNA to be, like, a controlling man, but he just can't really... He's not very good at actually doing it.
Exactly.
He has the nature of a controlling man, but none of the like activity, because like it doesn't actually materialise. Yeah. Everyone's like, you're pathetic.
Yeah.
You haven't controlled anybody. You've tried, but no one's like singing to your hymn sheet.
Yeah.
One of Johnny's favourite parts of this episode was Jaden in the taxi. He said he looked like Elton John. He had the big reflective glasses and the like lapels and the red suit. And I could sort of see it.
You were saying they're the most colour coordinated.
They were coordinated, weren't they? Although Cassandra and Tristan were both wearing all black.
Mourning.
There was a bit of a rivalry there between the red and the black.
It was interesting as well, you said about how worked up Jono was getting in Ellie's defence.
What do you think about that? We already know that he thinks she's lovely and intelligent and this and that and the other. He's already said it once. Now he's saying it again.
He wanted to give Ben a slap.
Yeah, that's what bothered me the most. You want to give Ben a slap because he's treating Ellie badly. But you didn't get this riled up when Lauren, when you were told to put a muzzle on your wife. Mm-hmm. And Jack was being a dick to Lauren.
I think the man didn't might get this have riled a little then. Crush on Ellie.
I think.
And maybe his usual type is somebody who's a, you know, because we love Lauren, but Ellie's quite different to Lauren.
Yeah, yeah.
His usual type is someone who doesn't have good conversation.
Wears too much makeup.
Wears too much.
He's 32.
But he's 39, so it can't be done because there's a generational difference.
There is a generational gap. Did anybody spot one of the most backhanded compliments / insults when Andrea said, if Tim and Sarah can do it, anyone can do it.
And Sarah actually laughed. I did think, ooh, if she was in a different mood, that would not have gone down well.
A dig. If you two can pull this dying thing back to life, anyone can.
You've resurrected the corpse of your relationship.
Seriously.
At the cocktail party bit, it was good to see Lucinda going around to everyone. Aww. And also having a word with Jack. I thought that was really well handled.
Oh, yeah,
well
she said I was disappointed.
If we didn't know better, Lucinda almost feels like a plant of an expert in the contestants.
Mm.
She holds herself and talks like she's actually one of the experts.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she like gently pulls people up and is very fair.
Mm.
She's so emotionally mature. And like, yeah, the way she went up to Jack and like... disappointed, but we know you can do better, and like gave him a hug, and she's so giving in terms of her time and her energy and
it was a perfect way to pull him up. I mean, I don't think Jack understood what was going on.
No, he didn't.
He just started out on his patter of like, oh, I've got sisters, and like, they'd be ashamed.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like,
yeah, and then he just like went in for another hug as if to shut her up because he didn't understand what she was saying. Like, yeah, we're done now.
It's like the misogynist's favourite tagline of like, oh, but she's someone's sister, she's someone's mum, and like, she's also a woman in her own right. If she's not someone's sister, she's still deserving of your respect.
I also enjoyed the chat that she had with Jaden. There's no excuse there now for Jaden to...
No, she tried to quash it.
Yeah.
And he was trying to play the hero.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm actually all right. Everything's going well. It's like, no, I really know better.
He totally decided he was going to do it, and that was it, wasn't it?
I know.
He was going to talk to Timothy about this stuff.
He thought he had her best interests at heart. But it's not in her best interests for you to be riling Timothy up and for you to be getting yourself involved, because it's only going to be Lucinda has to pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
So actually, if you care about her, it wasn't a case of bringing it up at the dinner party. It was a case of just quietly saying, are you all right? Like, we've all got your back. Like, is he giving you enough? And just, but bringing it up was just a quite alpha move.
Do you think that Jaden's got wind of Timothy calling him old Fabio and he's not impressed?
I think he's done
it feels
to his
like
face.
It's about more than Lucinda, because he's just pissed off with Timothy. It's probably about a bit more than that.
And then also Timothy seems to have a real chip on his shoulder for anyone under 30.
Yeah.
He's said it as black and white as he can. Like, you are not allowed to have an opinion about me if you are under the age of 30. But also, as much as I like Timothy, I think he often lets himself down, and this wasn't good behaviour. And what makes no sense is all his, like, you know, clucking to camera about like, well, I don't even care what they say, and then he clearly does.
Yeah.
And then he says something like, boys have an opinion, men show respect, men have respect, and then legends don't fucking care. And I'm like, you do care. care. Yeah. So you're quite clearly not a legend.
Yeah, exactly. If you didn't care, don't engage with it.
You'd be so chilled and you'd be like, look, your opinions don't matter to me. I respect the fact you're saying something, but it doesn't matter. I know what's going on with us.
Yeah.
But he gets so egged up.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have any expression for what he says.
Now, I totally agree, because, yeah, taking it back to the getting ready for the dinner party thing, they were building it up like it was a prize fight.
Yeah.
And it was just not, it's not really to do with their relationships. That bit, I think, might have actually been cut out of E4, where he said, boys want attention, men want...
Right.
But it's exactly the kind of behaviour he accuses Jaden of.
Yeah.
And he does let himself down. I think it's fuelled by alcohol as well. I mean, to be fair, another bit which was cut out, I'm going to try and share some of these bits which have been cut out of the E4 airing, was he said, you know, if Jaden wants a fight, I'm up for it. And do a couple of buttons up, for God's sake. That's what they're on the shirt for.
But, like,
there's a bit of jealousy there from Tim. Mm.
There's an aggressiveness sometimes to Timothy, which leaves a horrible taste in the mouth. And, like, slamming his fist down on the table and saying to Jaden, you'll be left with nothing. And actually, this is where we saw it all start to unravel, because he said that to Jaden, and then Tori... Mm-hmm. took umbrage at that.
Oh, God.
Because she doesn't like Timothy.
Oh, yeah.
So then everybody was starting to take sides.
Yeah.
And poor Lucinda, through all of this, is trying to remain true to who she is, which is not loving any of this stuff. But you could tell she was so desperately trying to show Timothy that she had his back.
Yeah.
I think she was amazing in that.
She was amazing.
That conversation she had with him was brilliant, wasn't it?
She literally took her gloves off.
And then she also said, the actual gloves. And then she also said to camera something about... we are on the same team, but it doesn't mean I condone how he is behaving, which I think is a really lovely way to be, because she was really trying to show him that she wasn't throwing him under the bus.
Yeah.
And he was like, you've been 10 out of 10 tonight.
Just before we move on from Tim, because I agree with everything you said, I really like him. I think as soon as he smiles and starts making jokes, or even when he's eggy and making jokes, he's
egged up.
He can be funny. But he's definitely, gets a bit too aggressive.
Mm.
But he brings it back round, though, at the last second, and makes you like him again. When he said to Lucinda, you're the only one who can talk to me, and gets through.
That's so arrogant. Like, at the same time, like, he won't take any constructive criticism from anyone.
I wanted to make a point about that, the age thing. Obviously, people under 30, people who are younger than you can have an insight. But I think of myself at Jaden's age, and I fucking didn't know anything. I was an idiot about relationships or whatever. Mm. I think totally differently now. But that doesn't mean that other 27-year-olds who are different to me don't have something useful to impart.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't think Jaden, the guy who decided to sleep with her ex's friend and all that story, I can understand why Timothy, for all his faults, is just like, I don't need to fucking hear from you, mate.
But the thing is, if they're going to mix ages on this show, which they've done this year for the first time, surely, like, you're in this experiment. You have to be open to everyone's takes, like, part of this experiment.
Would you be open to Jack's take?
No, but I wouldn't say to camera, legends don't care. And then clearly, like, the problem is Timothy thinks that it's like water off a duck's back.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's the opposite of that.
It's so water on a duck's face.
If Jack was coming for me and my relationship, I hope I'd say something like, obviously you're allowed your opinion. I'm going to just politely decline.
Yeah.
And also, like, I think I would like pour kindness on it to annoy him more and be like, oh, that's really lovely of you to feedback. Don't give a shit. But I think it's the pretending not to care and then getting riled up. And it just seems quite... It seems like his emotions are out of his control sometimes, which is a little bit frightening.
Yeah.
Especially when I love Lucinda so much. I'm not saying he'd do anything physical, but like slamming a fist on the table is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like...
Just before we move on from that, because again, lots of good bits cut out of this episode for the E4 viewing. Again, I'm not sure what it's like on 4.
Oh, on demand.
But... slammed his fist into the table. Lauren sat next to him. Her wine gets knocked over. She's got amazing hands. She catches it just in time.
Did she?
And then she stands up and goes, no one knocks my fucking wine over, that's for sure.
I know.
I didn't see that. That's amazing.
It was a really funny moment.
It was good.
That was cut out.
It was good. It then got quite ugly.
Well,
I think
it got calm.
He took Lucinda's words on board.
Yeah.
And settled.
Yes.
And this is where, with you saying about kill him with kindness, the Tory situation, this is, she got more and more wound up the calmer he, and particularly Cassandra, were.
It got quite ugly in terms of it's going to be hard. I mean, I'm not going to relay the whole conversation, but the worst part for me was when Tori said, I'm not going to take criticism from someone further down the food chain.
So this is the bit when she was talking to camera, wasn't it?
That was gross. Don't come.
Basically, like, I'm at the top of the food chain and you're at the bottom. So know your place. Yeah. That's what it was.
For a white woman to say that about a black woman is gross. But for anyone to say that about anyone is gross. But the optics on that were horrible, horrible, horrible. But also,
I wasn't sure whether to bring this up because it's been something a few people have mentioned online. So it's one of those, isn't it? It's where it doesn't look good. No. But
it wasn't her intention, but it's a microaggression to say that someone's lower down the food chain to you.
Yeah.
I just think that's a gross thing to say. It really riled me up.
Oh, yeah, I was so angry about that.
And also, it was so, like, wrong-headed for, like, why does Tori think her and Jack are the top of the bloody food chain to start with?
Yeah, because they got matching tattoos.
Like, it is madness that that's, like, the narrative playing in her head, when actually Cassandra is one of the classiest, nicest characters on this.
Yeah.
And is held herself with so much, like, poise. She's pulled people up when she's needed to.
Yeah. The one mistake she made was she did say that Tori had said, I don't like your face. Yeah. Which Tori didn't say that bit, and that was the bit that Tori was fixated on.
About,
like, don't tell me what I said. I know what I said. It's like, all right, I didn't. Yeah, fair, fine. You didn't say that bit, but
you said he looked smug.
Yeah.
And then
and
I'm just saying that's just his face.
But then Cassandra said, you said he looked smug. She went, no, I didn't. I said he looked smug. And you're like, you're arguing the same point. But you cannot say someone is further down the food chain.
It's just such a...
And she's not allowed to talk to you.
Yeah.
Like, that is a really gross thing to say.
I bet Cassandra's absolutely gutted as well. and she goes, oh, I feel like you're all Team Timothy. It's like, yeah, I've been Team Timothy since the beginning. Yeah. He's awesome.
What's your problem?
I really like him.
And I don't even know if... it just got really ugly. On like a really basic level, it did feel like people were just playing the like distraction technique of like, look over here, this relationship's worse than mine, and Tori getting involved is like, nobody look at me and Jack.
Well, that's it. But the problem is she kept setting us up. She's nowhere near as clever as she thinks she is. She kept walking into shots from Timothy, like just giving him ammunition. It's like, oh, well, you don't know what goes on in our relationship. And he goes, yeah, you don't know what goes on in ours.
Yeah.
And her comeback was, oh, I wouldn't want to know. I wouldn't know what goes on.
And then to camera, she said, I wouldn't stand for a man saying something.
And you're acting like that at the table.
Yeah, and you're like, but you did roll back 7 days.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you did stand for.
Yeah.
I know when to talk and when not to talk. Yeah, because Jack tells you when to talk.
And then she thought she was being really clever when she said he didn't tell her when to talk. He told her to shut up. I'm like, that's the definition of telling her when to talk.
Oh, my, I know, that was ridiculous.
So I don't think Tori's as clever as she thinks she is.
No.
And it was like gross.
That's not an on button, it's an off button.
No. Honestly, like, and then Cassandra again, like, very dignified, just let it all play out and just smiled to herself.
It's fine.
And actually, I really respect her bravery sometimes, because sometimes she does speak out in defense of people when it feels quite uncomfortable too, but she's done it a couple of times and it's like props to her.
She's often the one to do it, isn't she?
And she doesn't do it in an aggressive way.
No.
I can't believe what Tori said.
No, I know. That is horrendous.
Have we ever had, I've been wondering this for a while, have we ever had a villain couple? Obviously, there's been like Harrison and people weren't sure about Bronte. Didn't particularly like her.
But there were points where Melinda and Leighton.
Oh, really?
They got good, weren't they like...
I think it was all
no,
people,
they weren't a villain couple, but they were like really snobby at the beginning.
I think like people, I was sort of sometimes a bit bored by Leighton. And we didn't like Melinda in the very first, at her wedding, but...
Yeah.
But like to have two people, because I've not liked Tori from the beginning, but now it's like...
She's dug her own bed,
yeah.
Dug her own bed! What are they called? Malapropisms, when you get things wrong. That is just me. I'm Mrs. Malaprop.
Wow, that's a good word.
I don't know if it's right. It's probably wrong.
I like it anyway.
Ironically, it's a malapropism.
I'm thinking of couples who've essentially like cheated and come back in. They're sometimes seen as villain couples. You know, like,
Daniel and Carolina.
Dan and
but
Carolina.
Also before then, Jessica, she was blonde. And that guy.
Yes.
People didn't like them.
When they leave and come back,
people didn't like them. So it's often like the cheating couples
but
get the villain ones.
Tori and Jack are setting themselves up to be the most dislikable.
Yeah.
Oh, unlikable. Just, oh, the way they talk about other people. I'm rich, me slagging them off on this, but like, just the way they talk about other people.
Oh,
and
we've
the way,
got sponsors then.
Yeah.
From the beginning, her whole thing about like, oh, we're a superior couple. On, oh, what, on what basis?
Odd.
On
but
what
also,
basis? It,
life doesn't work like that. You can be a good couple, and so can everybody else.
Yeah.
There is no competition that your marriage, relationship is better than someone else's.
That's something else that a few of them seem to mention, including Ridge, who we like. And I know he was doing it in sort of a, you know, I'm happy with where we are, seeing how things could turn out. But there's a lot of comparison.
I guess it's natural, isn't it? Like, of course,
it's set up in Matt's environment.
Yeah, it's set up to be like turning up to the dinner party. Ooh, who's doing better? Listening in at the commitment ceremonies, and you get to hear behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Of how. So obviously, it's set up that way. And obviously, we know that Maths has changed over the years. They introduced the dinner parties to maybe for that very reason of people being able to compare themselves and get involved with each other's drama.
Group drama.
Another point that we should bring up, actually, someone else who's handled this drama quite well, playing the long game perfectly, I think, Lauren, saying, you know, I'm going to accept his apology, because it's his standard apology that he gives. You know.
Or Jono. Jack.
From Jack, yeah, just saying, yeah, he did the whole script of I've got sisters, my dog's brother. be ashamed. But I'll accept the apology because I don't want to go around in circles. And we all know who he is. He'll fuck up again soon enough.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the way to
Lauren.
Exactly.
She's
the way
impeccable.
To do it.
Yeah.
Bloody love her.
It's gonna happen.
We almost didn't see enough from her this episode because I absolutely love her.
Do you think, just to bring it back to Cassandra, I mentioned in one of our previous episodes that group of four, like Eden, Tori, Sarah and
Lauren.
Do you think, because you would imagine Cassandra and Lauren would be all right. I wonder who Cassandra's friends are.
Yeah, they don't seem to include her.
Yeah.
Which isn't.
But what's happened in that group now? We don't know. Because we don't know how Lauren and Tori are doing after the last dinner
that's
party.
True.
So
that's
maybe
true.
That group is disbanding and maybe Tori is now feeling like she doesn't have allies.
Yeah.
So she's getting defensive with people
She's gonna dig into the whole dig her own bed in with Jack.
But they're not dig her own bed in. But they're also not super tight because sometimes we see them, like, you know, when we've just decided to call her Sarah now. When Sarah and Tim had their thing, most of the girls were saying, oh, we're on Tim's side. So they're not like thick as thieves. They do see each other's flaws.
Yeah.
So I know what you mean about the four of them, but I think maybe it's like a moving parts, and maybe some weeks people are more involved.
A lazy Susan each week you rotate and you get a new friend.
Because who else would that leave? Obviously, you've got Lucinda and Andrea, who we'd count as like the older contestants. But who does that leave Cassandra with?
Ellie.
Right.
But they don't seem Ellie. Like super close.
Not that we've been privy to, have we? But
coming back to Ellie.
I think Cassandra's close with Michael.
Oh, yeah.
They seem quite close.
That's a cute friendship.
Yeah.
And I can imagine, again, I know we've mentioned race, but I can imagine when he came into that hens night, they just had a little nod.
Yeah.
Like, the only black ones who've ever been on that.
the other thing, when you said Ben, it just really made me laugh. Like, this is such a classic line when someone's trying to, like, break up with someone. They're like, I think we're better off as friends. And you're like, if I don't want to be friends with someone who whips out a guitar. And
they're not friends.
Like, what makes you think what friendship do we have when you just like...
Why would Ellie want to be friends with someone who's treated her like that?
That's madness. Madness. So this all came to a head with the whole Cassandra, Tori, Timothy thing.
Mm.
And then we did see a little bit of like some of the shards being swept up because we saw Lucinda try and talk to Timothy and him say she'd had his back. There was like glimmers of hope.
Mm.
But just that behaviour can't continue. And I think Jaden was coming from a good place of being like, this isn't good enough for you.
I don't know.
But in terms of, I think he really cares about Lucinda, but he handled it wrong. He shouldn't have brought it up at the dinner table. It made everything worse.
Yeah.
Is he friends with Lucinda, or is it just that Lucinda is friendly with everyone?
Yeah, I mean, everyone probably feels fondly towards her because of how she is with everybody. And so I think they probably all as a group think she deserves way better.
Yeah.
Which is and true. But he then played the like hero role.
Yeah, I'll be the one to swoop in.
And it was like, you know.
Yeah, I'll be the knight in red satin.
Oh, nice.
But it was the wrong thing to do. It was an absolute car crash and it was left probably worse. Although the experts, I thought it was such a mess, but the experts were like, oh, that looks good. You know, Tim telling her she's a 10 out of 10. But then you hear Lauren's go, she's always a 10 out of 10. because he hasn't recognised how amazing she's been the whole way through, consistently.
No, he has said that. He has said it before. And we all agree, whether we like Timothy or not, we all agree he could do more, make more effort.
Do 99% more.
But he has said that she's amazing, you know, on the couch. I couldn't have picked someone more perfect to deal with my baggage.
True. Yeah, but then he's also very quick to be accusatory towards her and be like, well, you enjoyed
threw
everybody ganging
bus,
up on me. You threw me. He basically just blames her for everything as well.
I was getting sick of hearing him under the bus. He's got his man cave, though, now.
Oh, my word, the actual man cave.
So he's moved back in, but they're in separate rooms.
Yeah.
She puts up with a lot.
I know, she really does.
And I know we like him, and I know he's got that cheeky smile, but it's wearing thin because that aggression and that inability to, like, control himself and caring so much what other people think whilst also claiming not to.
Mm-hmm.
Juvenile.
I am glad he kept his cool mostly with Tori, though.
Yeah.
Because that didn't blow back up again. It could have really blown up again, and that would have looked really bad on him. And like, when we were watching it, I kept going, like, saying out loud, no, just disengage, Timothy. Yeah. Just disengage.
But they were baiting him
from it. Exactly. They started, like, tag teaming him.
Yeah, because at one point Jack was like, well, you've been saying things, what are you going to say now?
Yeah.
As if to encouraging him to have an outburst, and then being able to be like, look, you just had an outburst.
You've got a foul mouth. Like, we're adults.
They were totally doing that thing of, look how calm we both are. Why are you kicking off? But he wasn't.
Yeah.
So that was well played by him, because if he'd bought into that, would Lucinda have been able to kind of talk to him in the way that she did before?
Mm-hmm.
It would have been another thing for her to be hurt by, and rightly so.
One thing I do like that she does is she doesn't hold back, whether it's to camera or on the commitment ceremony, and just being like, this is not behaviour I find attractive.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't want to look like she's being walked over in terms of waiting for him to find her attractive, waiting for him to step up. She's like, that behaviour is not attractive to me,
mm-hmm.
full stop.
Yeah.
And she's got his back because she sees them as a team. But who knows, where is this going to go?
Yeah. And she told him that as well.
Yeah.
So if and when he watches it, then he knows.
Yeah.
Because she's communicated with him what she thinks.
Well, we're coming to the commitment ceremony then. Do you think anyone's going to go?
Ben and Ellie.
Do you think I reckon he might write Stay.
No, he'll not write Stay.
Oh, my life.
He
can't
write
Stay. He probably
will.
I wouldn't put it past him. If I had to put money on it, I'd say he'd put Leave.
I think he'll put
Leave. It wouldn't surprise me if he put Stay. Because I've been thinking about it, and I think there is promise there. And I can just, the pressure of the experiment is getting to me.
And then Ellie needs to go, well, I'm leaving, so.
Yeah, I'm taking your guitar and smashing it. I think I'm trying to picture everyone else. I think everyone else is going to write Stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone. We're still at this is why we end up forgetting people, which hopefully we haven't done this time.
Stephen and Michael will write Stay. Tim and Sarah will write Stay. I mean, Tristan and Cassandra, we don't know what mood he'll be in, but hopefully they'll write Stay. I think Timothy, it's such a shame with Timothy and Lucinda, because they were having those good 3 days last week, and then it got derailed because he thought she threw him under the bus. Mm. She obviously didn't. They were having a good 24 hours this week, and then his behaviour wasn't great.
Yeah,
and
but
so
I think it'll be okay still.
If you were looking at a graph, hopefully there's like upward motion.
Yeah.
But I don't know how steep.
Yeah.
So I think they'll both write Stay. I can't think of anybody who'd write Leave.
No.
Obviously Ben and Ellie.
Yeah.
Next week, I'm not certain about this, I've not looked ahead, might be the retreat.
Oh. I've just realised I'm not here for these ones.
Oh.
I am gonna be watching in Nicaragua on some like dodgy VPN and like sipping my little margaritas and trying to play catch up, and then I might send you some little voice notes.
Yeah.
Some little chaotic voice notes.
Full of interesting sayings which you can say in Nicaraguan proverbs.
Well, as they say in Nicaragua, once you make your bed you have to climb into it.
Okay, well, we're looking forward to it. It won't be too long until you're back anyway.
You'll be back for the event.
Yes, of course I will.
Yeah.
Oh. I think you're secretly going to love me being away, because you can just have a little peaceful chat, just the two of you. No awkward third party.
No, we'll miss you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We will.
Until Tuesday's episode, which will just be me and Claire, I've been Omar Abid.
I've been Sarah Clark. And I'm off on my holiday.
I've been Claire Lemar Abid.
I'm just going to go and work on my list of the stuff I don't like about you two.
I think mine will be longer than Claire's.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.